Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. Approved electronic devices may now be used.
Bye bye, love. Bye bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry.
Phil Everly and his brother Don rode the top of the charts for much of the late 50s and early 60s. And with Phil's passing, the music world paused to reflect on the Everly brothers, their look, their notorious breakup, their later reunion, and, of course, their sound.
Dream.
The Everly Brothers' songs could be moving, eerie, often subtle, so subtle, in fact, that it was easy to underestimate the impact that the Everly Brothers had on the rock, folk, and pop music that would follow them. Here to trace the duo's impact for us is Craig Havighurst, the Nashville-based journalist who's also the co-host and blogger for the syndicated Americana radio show, Music City Roots. Hey, Craig.
Hi, John. Nice to be here.
So, do you agree with the idea that we somehow take the Everly Brothers for granted?
Their influence sort of does. It snakes through music. Obviously, the idea of two voices joined together, the Everly Brothers didn't invent that.
Right.
But when you have the Beatles in their pre-Beatles days calling themselves the new Everly Brothers as they go to audition in Britain, and then the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson just falling all over himself through his career about the Everlys, and Simon and Garfunkel bringing them out of retirement in the 80s and featuring them so prominently and saying we wouldn't be here but for, you realize, then when you begin to listen for that sort of, those intervals, those tones, and the way the phrasing goes, you think, wow, they sort of codified a kind of singing that would stand for intimacy and be very just really reach people in its purity and its phrasing.
I have to say, Craig, I have been thinking about the Everly Brothers a lot in the last couple of weeks, even before Phil Everly died, because Showtime has been airing this movie called Another Day, Another Time Inside Llewyn Davis, the concert they did at New York's Town Hall, featuring a lot of folk music, some of it from the Coen Brothers movie and some of it not. And every time I see the milk carton kids on that stage singing, I think, oh, my God, Everly Brothers.
Yeah, they were one of the first, they're probably the first contemporary band that I thought of that embodies and embraces the sound without imitating. They are just an incredibly fresh duo. Their big names are Kenneth Pattingale and Joey Ryan. And in just 2 years, this band was formed in 2011. They were solo artists who weren't getting much going. And then all of a sudden, once they joined forces and voices, they have really blown up and gotten T-Bone Burnett's attention, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a song from the new Ash and Clay album.
Yeah, the song is called Snake Eyes from this L.A.-based folk duo called the Milk Carton Kids.
Swing low, swing low, for to carry me home. In fire, the skies of red. My breath's gone cold, a kiss from the cold. A blanket of snow overhead. So
did I mention, Craig, that every time I hear the Milk Carton Kids, I think, oh, my God, the Everly Brothers.
For a while, I thought of Simon and Garfunkel as a first reaction, but we have to put that aside and then listen to them on their own terms, don't we? But they really are marvelous.
Yeah,
and it's also struck me as I was thinking about them and that track and how new that is, that the duo, the vocal duo, the close harmony, is also a big feature of the music on the show Nashville on ABC.
Uh-huh.
Some of the best work on that show has been the Scarlett Gunner duets early on, and they really kind of make a big deal about the vocal duo, which is not big at country radio at all. It hasn't been for years, but in that alternative universe, it's also kind of a return to the purity of those two voices together, just like we heard with the Milk Carton Kids.
The Milk Carton Kids, go to soundcheck.org and search for Milk Carton Kids. You'll find their in-studio session. They are past guests on Soundcheck. We heard the song Snake Eyes from them. Craig Havockhurst is with us on the line, the Nashville-based journalist and co-host of the syndicated Americana show Music City Roots, and talking about the long tail, the impact of the Everly Brothers. Phil Everly died last week, just before his 75th birthday. Now, you're talking about that combination of two voices, the kind of, you know, diatonic, triadic harmony that was sort of key to the Everly Brothers' sound. Where else do we find that, and do we have to have both voices be male?
Well, no. One of the songs that I thought of immediately as well was was Love Hurts, as covered by Emmylou Harris and Graham Parsons, which came out more than a decade after the initial 1960 hit by the Everly Brothers. And for Emmylou Harris, meeting Graham Parsons was the key to unlocking the world of country music and American folk music and what we now sort of call Americana. And he kind of tutored her in some ways about some of his favorite artists, George Jones and the Leuven Brothers and the Everly Brothers. And at the time, for young, hip, folk singing, cool kids like Emmylou Harris in Washington, D.C., this was music, country music was not something that she would have, her peers would naturally have thought was cool and interesting. And it took Graham Parsons cajoling to get her to listen carefully. And then when they joined voices on Love Hurts, which was actually released after Graham's death and has a lot of overtones about their relationship,
mm-hmm.
You hear just such a magnificent counterpoint in the vocals. I think that the bridge of the song is the real heart of it. It's always been my favorite Everly Brothers song, and she has continued to do this with various partners through the years. She's recorded it multiple times and sung it with Buddy Miller and a bunch of different people. But clearly this was one of her iconic records with Graham Parsons.
And of course, the song Love Hurts, we think of this, the version by Nazareth in 1975 that spawned the power ballad. But that was, you know, the umpteenth version already of the song. Here's the Graham Parsons, Emmylou Harris version that Craig's been talking about.
I'm young, I know, but even so,
international number one version of Love Hurts by Nazareth, there was this version of Love Hurts by Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris from their album Grievous Angel. And 14 years before that was the original recording by the Everly Brothers. Craig, we should probably at this point mention Felice and Boudelot Bryant, the husband and wife songwriting team, who wrote Love Hurts and wrote, didn't they write all of the early Everly Brothers hits?
Enough to say all and be basically accurate. Bye Bye Love, their breakout song especially.
Mm-hmm. And Wake Up Little Susie and All I Have to Do Is Dream. Yeah. Now, it's probably also worth noting that they were in the first class of inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they are also in the Country Music Hall of Fame. So does that kind of show the range of their influence, or is that a reflection of their own personal roots?
Absolutely, their roots. They're from Muhlenberg, Kentucky. Their dad, Ike, was a country guitar player who influenced Merle Travis, was a contemporary and friend of Merle Travis. And they did this record in 1958, called Songs Our Daddy Taught Us, the Everly Brothers' second album after becoming stars of rock and roll with songs like Wake Up Little Susie. Made a pure country roots record of throwback tunes, which was a really radical idea, and I'm sure that some people around them thought they were crazy for going backwards instead of forwards at the time, but it produced an extraordinary album that gave us sort of put some of those songs on the map, and that would later show up as kind of important catalog and canonical songs in the Americana catalog.
Kentucky. You are the dearest land outside of heaven to me. Kentucky, I miss your laurel and your redwood tree.
It seems like everybody was thinking about the Everly Brothers this past year. There were three, at least, tribute albums, and maybe the best known was called Foreverly with Nora Jones and Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day. A very unlikely pair, but hey, it was a really brilliant record. And this is very meta. This is Billy Joe and Nora covering the Everlys, covering the Louvin Brothers, whose song Kentucky would have been big when the Everly Brothers rather were very young guys, and it was on that list of songs that Ike Everly, their dad, said, you know, pay attention to this, and it was really cool to have Billy Joe and Nora revive that song in 2013.
From their album Foreverly, here's Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong and Nora Jones.
Kentucky. You are the dearest land outside of heaven to me. Kentucky, I miss your laurel and your redwood trees. When I die,
pretty great arrangement. Billy Joe Armstrong and Nora Jones with Kentucky from their album called Foreverly, last year's tribute album to the Everly Brothers, and as Craig Havighurst was telling us, one of no less than three Everly Brothers tribute albums that all magically appeared in the same year, in 2013. We're talking about the lingering influence of the Everly Brothers. Phil Everly died last week. He was 74. And Craig Havighurst, the Nashville-based journalist and broadcaster, is with me on Soundcheck. So what else should we listen to? You want to do another male-female vocal thing?
Sure, yeah. I thought about Gillian Welch, who emerged in the mid-90s, about the time that a lot of us were kind of really tuning into this new kind of Americana feel and the revival that, you know, began to really climax with the O Brother soundtrack that she was involved in. But she did a record with her partner, David Rawlings, in 2001 at RCA Studio B, which is where Don and Phil Everly cut their early hits, a lot of their music, in Nashville. So they had some of the same ambience in the studio, the same microphones, I expect. So this song is called I Want to Sing That Rock and Roll. It's an original Gillian Welch, David Rawlings song. But Gillian and David, they don't always sing together as a pair the way the Everly Brothers nearly always did. But when they do match up, you can tell they are feeling that brother duet tradition from the Everlys back to the Louvins, the Delmores, and the that whole vibe of where those two voices kind of become one, and where those intervals just so gently kind of lull you into a kind of a state.
I want to sing that rock and roll. I want to electrify my soul. 'Cause everybody been making a shout so big and loud, been drowning me out. I want to sing that rock and roll. I want to reach that glory land. I want to shake my Savior's hand. And I want to sing that rock and roll. I want to electrify my soul. 'Cause everybody been making a shout so big and loud, been drowning me out. I wanna sing that rock and roll. I've been a traveling near and far, but I wanna lay down my old guitar, and I wanna sing.
That is Gillian Welch and David Rawlings singing Gillian's song, I Want to Sing That Rock and Roll, from her album Time the Revelator. And once again, hearing the influence, the echoes of the sound of the Everly Brothers in that music. And it really is, Craig, it is the harmonies, right? There's something, well, you used the word intimate. There really is something that kind of pulls you in to hear those two voices in that kind of very particular close harmony.
Yeah, and the fact that they're balanced, there's not a specific lead vocal with support. Each line could stand alone as a strong melody, and the two voices are mixed up exactly the same, whereas so much pop music is a lead singer with background vocalists.
Right.
There was no background vocalist in the Everly Brothers.
So in other words, if Phil dropped out, Don's melody could still, you know, would still be a nice lead melody, and vice versa also the case.
That's right. Apparently, Don was, when you hear one voice, most of the time it's Don's. But Phil, the two sing, I mean, it must be 85 to 90% of the time that the two, when they're on record, are joining voices together.
All right. We've been speaking with Craig Havockhurst, the Nashville-based journalist, co-host and blogger of the nationally syndicated Americana radio show Music City Roots, talking to us about some of the artists who have followed in the footsteps of the Everly Brothers, beginning with the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Simon and Garfunkel, but we're hearing some of the others. You're going to bring us back to our own state, New York, to wrap things up, right, Craig?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that the bluegrass tradition was represented here, because the vocal duo, the brother duet, has had a long history through bluegrass music, and the Osborne Brothers in the 50s and 60s would have been quick to cite the Everly Brothers as influences from outside their genre, but bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a band that from upstate New York, rural New York, called the Gibson Brothers, who just toiled away and did great work for 20 years and finally are really receiving their due. They are the two-time reigning IBMA Entertainers of the Year. So they're basically, according to the business professionals in bluegrass, members of the IBMA, the top act out there right now. And they had the song I thought of was something from their 2013 album. They call it Music, and the track is called I'm Dying for Someone to Live For. Not everything the Gibson Brothers sings together sounds Everly-esque, but I thought this one particularly did.
All right, this is Eric and Lee Gibson, so they are brothers in the Everly Brothers tradition. Dying for Someone to Live For is the name of the song. Craig, thanks very much for sharing this music with us today.
Thanks a lot, John.
Loneliness falls all around, and it's almost got me down. Well, I guess when it rains, it pours. I'm dying for someone to live for. There's a whippoorwill out on a limb, but I know I'm more lonesome than him. Now I don't know who he's crying for. I'm dying for someone to live for, and the weeping willow cries every time a good love says goodbye. I hear the tide coming in on the shore. I'm dying for someone to live for.
That's the bluegrass group the Gibson Brothers and the song Dying for Someone to Live For from their album They Call It Music. So, how did you react to the recent death of Phil Everly? Did it make you think about the music of the Everly Brothers, perhaps in a different light? Post your comment on soundcheck.org or leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.